Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into the program today, and I trust that it will be a blessing to your soul. We're going to read today from the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 24. In the early part of this chapter, we find Paul's enemies making false accusations against him, Paul eloquently defending his name. We then read Acts chapter 24 and in the verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing upon the reading and the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege that is ours of coming before thee. We rejoice that we do not worship a dead Savior, but one who is alive, one who rose victorious o'er the grave, finishing the work of redemption, and who is seated at the Father's right hand. We thank thee that thou makest intercession for thy children. And Lord, we come to thee and we ask that thou wouldst remember us this day. We thank thee for the reading of thy word, and we pray that thou wouldst take it and that thou wouldst apply it to individual hearts. We rejoice that thou hast said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And our prayer would be that as thy word is expounded, that faith might be born in hearts, that there'll be those who look away from self and look unto thee and be saved. So, Lord, we commit this service into thine hands, asking for thy presence and for thy blessing. Amen. In these words, we are introduced to a man by the name of Felix. While he began life as a slave, he eventually gained his freedom. Climbing the social ladder, he managed to amass great wealth. Eventually being appointed governor of Judea, he wielded a sword with a terrible vengeance. Clearing the territory of robbers, he also laid many towns waste, and he carried out many terrible atrocities. He even hired thugs on occasions to murder some of his closest supporters. Desiring the hand in marriage of a young teenage girl by the name of Drusilla, he employed the service of a Jewish magician to lure her away from her rightful husband. He was totally unscrupulous, a man full of lust and cruelty. While such Roman leaders prided themselves in being able to hide their deep emotions, yet Paul, now reasoning with them concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, fear gripped his heart. His past rising up before him, he suddenly began to tremble. The particular word used here means to be terrified. But while he was troubled about his soul and terrified, yet we are told here that he was not saved. And it reminds us that conviction is not conversion. It is possible to tremble under the preaching of the word of God and yet still to be lost. Indeed, the Lord, speaking of those who lived before the flood, he said in Genesis chapter 6 in the verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it's clear from these words that the Lord had strove with these individuals. Yet despite the fact that their hearts had been challenged, yet none of them were saved, but they were all swept away by the flood. You see, it's possible to be disturbed by the Spirit of God and yet to be damned, to be lost for all of eternity. Perhaps as you have listened to the preaching of the Word of God, you at times have felt like Felix. Your heart has trembled. You have been concerned about your soul. And I want to say to you that that is good, but it is not good enough. Philip Bliss put it this way: almost cannot avail. Almost is but to feel. Sad, sad that bitter wheel. Almost but lost. And you see, if your soul is not to be lost, it must not be almost persuaded, but it needs to be altogether persuaded. My, it's not enough to tremble under the preaching of the Word of God. It's not enough to be terrified about your soul, but you need to have faith. Faith not in man, but faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And so for a few moments, I want to draw your attention to this ruler called Felix. I want you to notice firstly here the preaching that disturbed him. The words, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," ringing in the ears of the Apostle Paul. He suddenly forgot the distinguished nature of his hearer. Leaving aside vague generalities, you notice here that he spoke of righteousness. We read there in verse 25, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come," this man, Felix, originally being freed from slavery by the emperor Claudius, he had pandered to every vice, gradually climbing the rungs of power. The historian Tacitus tells us he wielded the power of a king with all manner of ferocity and lust. When Jonathan the high priest rebuked him because of the wickedness of his life, he had him put to death. And the apostle now, speaking here of righteousness, he was reminding him that his life or his lifestyle was unacceptable. You see, God demands not partial holiness, but he demands perfect holiness, righteousness in every aspect of the life. Indeed, James, writing to the Jews who had been scattered abroad, he said in James chapter 2 and the verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." The word "offend" there literally means to sleep or to slip. And as such, he was reminding them here that if they kept 99.5% of the law and offended only and not 0.5%, they would be guilty of breaking it all. You see, God's standard is high. Partial obedience is but disobedience. On one occasion, two men seeking to join the guards, they went to the recruiting office in the center of London. The minimum height being 6 feet, one of the men was only 5 feet 7 inches. The other man was a staggering 4 inches taller. Which of the two men do you think was accepted into the guards? Neither. Because while one of them was 4 inches taller than the other, yet still coming short of the mark, he was rejected. And you may not have fallen morally or spiritually as far as another individual, but nevertheless, you still have come short. Let me ask you a question. How many thorns does it take to puncture a tire? My, just one. How many links in a chain must break before it is broken? Just one. And you may not have gone as far or deep into sin as that friend or as that neighbor, but as it just takes one scratch on a pane of glass to ruin it, so one sin is sufficient to damn the soul. You see, your righteousness may be far, far greater than that other individual. You may not have gone down into the depths of sin, but the fact is that you still have broken the law of God. The fact is that you're still condemned before him. You have failed to reach God's standard. But he spoke not only of righteousness, but he also spoke of reckoning. We read there in the verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Don't forget that Paul at this moment in time was a prisoner. His hands and his feet were in chains. And as such, his words about judgment must have seemed very strange to Felix, because at this moment in time, he was not being judged, but rather he was the judge. However, Paul now reminded him the day was coming when the tables would be turned, and ceasing to be the judge, he would be judged. You see, the judgment of God is not present, but it is future. It is to come. Indeed, the Apostle Paul reminding the Hebrew converts of that truth. He said in Hebrews chapter 9 and in the verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And he reminded them that God had set a time when they would breathe their last. And in that moment dying, they would rise to stand at the judgment. You see, death is not the end. Payday is coming someday. Sometimes people imagine because they can curse God or commit some great sin and they're not struck down in that moment that there is no judgment. Well, can I ask you a question? Going to work on Monday morning, did you get paid at dinner time? Did you get paid even at tea time? You probably wouldn't get paid until the end of the week or even until the end of the month. And because you have not been struck down because of that sin doesn't mean there is no God. It doesn't mean that there is no judgment. It simply means the judgment day is not yet. You see, my friend, the day is coming when the books of God will be open and your life will be spread out before you. And you will have to give answer to God for every sinful deed, for every sinful thought. You'll have to give answer for what you have done with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here preaching to this proud my ruler, he reminded him that he was a sinner and there was coming a day of judgment. But I think we notice here not only the preaching that disturbed him, but there was the pressures that detained him. Listening to the preaching of the Apostle Paul, Felix was deeply disturbed in his heart. Despite being brought to the very gates of repentance, he refused to enter in. And the failure was not in the sermon, and it was not in the preacher. But you notice here that he was snared by sin. While unable to hide his deep emotions, we read in the verse 25, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way." By his side at this time was a woman by the name of Drusilla. She was the youngest daughter of Herod Agrippa. And although she was probably still only in her teens, she had been married to the king of Emesa. And of course, she was not Felix's first wife. He was already married to another, Drusilla. And knowing that if he received the gospel, he would not only have to give up this immoral relationship, but he would have to give up his bribery and his corruption. He refused to come to Christ. You see, God not only requires remorse, but repentance, a turning and a fleeing from your sin. Indeed, the Lord said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, in the verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And he reminded them that no matter their lifestyle, if there was not repentance, a turning away from their sin, they would perish. You see, coming to Christ, there must not only be a recognizing of your sin, but there must be a repenting of your sin, a turning from it. Can you imagine a man being diagnosed with gangrene in his big toe and knowing that it will spread up his foot and then spread up his leg and eventually take his life? What does the surgeon suggest? He wisely suggests the cutting off of the foot. And you see, similarly, the Lord, in asking you to give up your sin, he is merely asking you to give up that which will pollute, destroy your life, bringing destruction. And I wonder, is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? Is there some sin in your heart? By the love of some type of iniquity? Is that what's stopping you coming to the Savior? I say to you today, better to lose anything than to lose your soul. Don't be like Felix. Don't hang on to that sin that will corrupt and destroy your life and that will eventually bring you down into the pit of destruction. But not only was he snared by sin, but we notice also he was snared by silver. Look at verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Coming to the city of Jerusalem, Paul had brought with him a large gift for the suffering saints. And hearing all this, Felix saw an opportunity in order to get rich quick. And as such, in keeping Paul in prison, he was hoping that Paul would seek to bribe him to set him free. And for the sake of a few coins that never came, he rejected the message of the gospel. And my friend, the promises of Satan are empty. Like a mirage, they disappear into emptiness. Indeed, reminding the Pharisees of this, the Lord said in John chapter 8 and in the verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, when he speaketh a lie." And never forget that the devil is a liar. His prophets are lying prophets, and his promises are but empty promises. I'm told when the Titanic was going down, there were 11 millionaires on board. One of them was a man by the name of A.H. Puchin. He had in his safe $300,000. But knowing the ship was going down, he forgetting about his money. Instead, he reached for three oranges. You see, in the face of death, what good will your riches be? My friend, you could own a fortune. You could own property here and there. But in that day, all your riches cannot redeem or ransom your soul. Is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? Maybe you're involved in an immoral lifestyle and it would cost you financially. Better to lose anything than to lose your soul. I think also my Felix looking down, seeing Paul's chains, my, he was afraid that if he became a Christian, he might be mocked. My friend, is that what's stopping you coming to the Savior? Better to be mocked by men than to be sent out into a lost eternity. But lastly, I want you to notice the presumption that damned him. Hearing the words of Paul, he presumed. He presumed that conviction would continue. Felix trembling, he said in verse 25, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." There was in his heart a strong desire, a determination, even to get saved. And thinking that he could be saved in a more convenient time, he was presuming that the Spirit of God would continue to strive with him. You see, while the Spirit of God strives frequently, He does not strive forever. There comes a time when he pleads no more. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, we read concerning the multitude in the verse 37, they believe not on him. And hearing the Lord Jesus, they chose not to believe. And refusing to come, we are then told two short verses later, they could not believe. And there came a moment in their lives when they could not believe. It was too late. You see, the only convenient season is God's season. And God's season is now. My friend, he may not be pleading with you tomorrow. And as such, I would urge you, while he is speaking, trust him. Trust him as your Savior. He also presumed conflict would cease. He said in verse 25, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When something is more convenient, it is less troublesome. But while he imagined that it would be easier in the future to get saved, time proved him to be wrong. Don't believe the devil's lie concerning convenience. It will not be easier, but it will be more difficult tomorrow to get saved. Now, tomorrow you will have more sins to repent of. You'll have a harder heart to repent with. You'll have less time to repent in. A number of years ago, the governor of Pennsylvania was asked to pardon a man on death row. Refusing, he said, the law must run its course. However, the governor, being a Christian, he decided to visit that young man. Going into the prison cell, he didn't tell him he was a governor. He told him he was a Christian. He told him of the love of God. He told him that there was salvation and life for a look at the crucified one. But the young man hardened his heart. And you know, when he left, the young man asked the guard, who was that? Discovering it was the governor, the tears began to flow down his cheeks. And he said, if only I had known it was the governor, I would have fallen at his feet and asked for pardon. The Lord will not always be pleading with you. While he's near, will you not call upon him? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee there is life for a look at the crucified one. And we pray that even this day, that unlike Felix, that souls would not harden their heart, but they might look unto thee and be saved. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.